is. Thank you, band. Appreciate you all. Put your hands together for them. Thanks. Thank God for all the workers that are behind the scenes and those that are watching on television as well. Out of Park campus, an online campus, and our Reynolds campus. We appreciate you. And don't forget, we do have Sunday school on Sunday mornings. And I heard them, they're right above me. So when I'm preparing, they are loud. And there's nothing wrong with that. I just know that they getting into and they love their Lord and they don't mind sharing about him. Know, too, that we have children's church going on right now. If you have a young one that would like, you'd like to get them involved, man, we have some amazing teachers and they would bless you. Tuesday morning, somebody say Tuesday morning. Tuesday mornings we have men's meeting in person and on Zoom. So I go to the one in person and there's a bunch of guys and we just love God with all of our hearts and we talk about the goodness of God and we help men grow in the things of God. And sisters, if there's anybody that needs to grow, it's the brothers, right? I don't hear you. Yeah, we need to grow, no doubt about it. That's actually why I started the class, because oftentimes men didn't feel good, didn't feel comfortable praying in people, or didn't know scripture. So we started learning how to pray and making it just kind of a flow of who we were and who we are and are able to talk. Men got a lot to talk about, too. So they've got a women's small group as well, and it's on Zoom. So many things are taking place. If you have a prayer need or a praise report, we want to hear about it. So ushers have actually envelopes that you can write on there and give it to us, because we will actually be praying for your needs this week. I mean, God is a good God. There have been so many testimonies that have come even online. So if you take a picture, if you got a smartphone, you can take a picture of the QR code. And Trey or me or one of the other individuals in the office, that's what we do. Every week, we intercede on your behalf. And, man, if you got a prayer need, we are believing God for that very thing. How many of you all believe that, that God answers prayer? He does, no doubt about it. I don't care how big it looks. Amen, amen. So just to update, some people don't know, and I know some of you all have, you know, just started coming. You didn't know that we have a senior facility. So the facility you see on Taylor Avenue, the one, it's called Timberlake. The church established that some 15 years ago. And some said, well, I didn't know that. Well, the one behind us is Timberlake Supportive Living for seniors 65 and older. The church also established that. And we're in the midst of doing another outreach for people. We've got, some of you don't know, and I'm just quickly, we've got a reentry program, and James Cockrell is doing an amazing job with that program, going to the prisons and when people come out of incarceration. I mean, you can give that a hand. That's who the church is, not just on Sunday. For those that have food needs, we've got a food pantry, as Jita mentioned. We also have our Haven House and our Haven Apartment. Some say, Pastor, well, what is that? Well, God moved on our hearts a long time ago that when people would get in situations and homelessness, that we would just not say, I'm going to pray for you, because a whole lot of folks pray for you, but they don't have a place for you to go. So we wanted to not only pray, but we wanted to have a place to go as well. So I thank God for you and being a part of God moving in the community. So go on and give God one more praise. And I am going to preach. Continue to pray for us as we do God's will. That's our desire, no doubt about it. Well, one passage in the book of 1 Corinthians 13 and 11, they probably have it on the screen. And this passage, before I even read that particular passage, and it's a good place to be, though. It's a good place to start. I love this passage. It says, 1 Corinthians 13, earlier in that passage, it says, love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. It does not demand its own way. It is not irritable. It does not keep record of wrong being done. It does not rejoice in injustice, but rejoices whenever The truth wins out. Love never gives up, never loses faith, is always hopeful and endures through every circumstance. And then let's read that verse that I want you to join in with me. And are you there at First Corinthians 13:11? If you're there, say amen. Let's read it together. When I was a child, I spoke as a... But... Let's read it one more time. You did fairly well. Do a little bit better than that. Okay. Let's read again. When I was a child, I spoke and thought and reasoned as a child. But when I... Say, when I did what? Grew up, I put away... Wow, wow, wow. Don't y'all just wish somebody would put away some childish things? And they wish you would too. Hallelujah. We're going to have a good time in the Word today. So let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your love and kindness. Thank you for all that you do. So speak to us and through us. We ask it in Jesus' name. And we say amen. If God has been good to you, why don't you go and give him a real good praise today? Give him a real good praise. He's God and there's none like him. We love you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. He is an amazing God. And I always enjoy this month because we set it aside to talk about love. And, you know, love is tremendously important in our lives, in every aspect of our lives. You know, and they were asked many different people. People will tell you different things about love or how they feel about love based upon their experience. Well, one teacher asked a group of kids about love, and Billy, age 4, he says, love is when a girl puts on perfume and a boy puts on shaving cologne and they go out and they smell each other. So y'all keep on smelling each other. Hallelujah. Carl, age 5, says, it's when you go out to eat with the girl and you give her most of your French fries without asking her for some of her Happy Meal. Noelle said this. I like this. She says, it's when you tell a boy that you like his shirt and he wears it every day for a week. Wow. And I understand that as you grow up, you know, you view love differently in many different ways, actually. And I had to really watch myself because I grew up in the Motown era when I was a teenager. You know, my picture of love can be influenced by what I saw on Motown and what I heard. I didn't know about Mrs. Jones. Mrs. Jones. See, we got a thing going on. And we, help me out, we both know it's wrong. But it's to let it go now. How y'all know about that stuff? So we were getting a picture of what love was, and I had to be careful because you can get off on the wrong track, you know, because, you know, Billy Paul was singing that stuff too, you know, love won't let me wait. I mean, when I listen to those words and we talk about our youth and what they're singing now, y'all was singing some stuff too. You know, and then you have to be careful because you don't mix in there Superfly. Our picture of love, that was this guy. How did he become the picture of what it looks like in certain communities? You know, and then, believe it or not, the folks was getting their hair pressed out, wearing stack heels and a long coat, and they wanted a pimp mobile. I'm just saying, folks, that our picture can really be skewed based upon what we see in front of us. And I think it's important that we see godly examples because Shaft, you know, they said he was a bad. See, so my thing is that we've got to be careful. And it takes a while for us to really see what love is about because Paul said love is kind. Love is patient. So I've got to get the biblical concept of love. You know, I've seen a whole lot of things, talked a whole lot of talk, but, you know, it's nothing like seeing it in Scripture and seeing it the way God wants you to see it. And in this passage, if you will, I did the study before 1 Corinthians 13, because 1 Corinthians 13, even though we read it most of the time at weddings and we think about it as a good scripture for love, like, you know, man and a woman, but actually God sent this through Paul so that it might talk about how the church could be unified. If you look at this passage, he's talking to people about getting along, because getting along can be a challenge. Don't look around. Can I just get a good amen in the real section? Man, you know, he wrote that about the church and coming together and, you know, about how you can have different gifts and how you can operate in these gifts. But God gave them to you so you could all work together for the sake of building the kingdom, to do the work of the kingdom. So therefore, he's saying, you all need to get along and y'all need to work together, because it's amazing what happens when people work together. Can it get a good amen in the house? Somebody give him a praise in the house. Woo! Yeah, how many of you all have been married for a while? Y'all been married for a while. Anybody been married longer than 10 years? Anybody been married longer than 15? What about 20? A few hands dropping. What about 30? I'm going to jump. What about 40? 50 years. If you've been married 50 years, stand on your feet. 50 years. Put your hands together for the 50-year folks. Man. Thank you. You might be seated. And I know it's not easy. Brothers, I know it's not easy. I'm going to move on. Hallelujah. Because I certainly love my wife. I've been married 43. I ain't at the 50 yet. But I plan on staying. And you know she ain't going nowhere. She got a good thing going on. But when I see you, I know it's not always easy, but what I do recognize, each of you all will talk to me about how God has been the center of your relationship and how God took you when things were challenging and how you prayed for one another, even in the midst of challenging times. Are you with me today? So I want you to know that when it says that love is kind, love is patient, you know, it's important to implement God's love, not just a feel good, because you're not always going to feel good. Can it get a good amen in the house? And you need to learn how to grow in love. Thank you, God. So some years ago, and you know, we're still learning and building, and this was just started. This has been a number of years ago. We took a bus load of men to Promise Keepers, and it's a convention. It was celebrating manhood, and thousands of us were meeting all over the world. And they had some renowned speakers like Dr. Tony Evans, A.R. Bernard, and several others. And one of the guys spoke on, being the man of your house. And they spoke on a whole lot of other things, too. But he spoke on that in particular, and saying that, well, when these husbands get home, they need to be the man of their house. Well, he came home and got off the bus, and one of the guys walked with him. He had quite a few bags. And when he got home, the wife wanted to ask him, well, you know, what did you learn at this conference? With his Bible in his hand, he took out Ephesians 5 of all passages. And he says, man is the head of the wife. And you know where he's going. From now on, things are going to change around here. She began to look at him. She said, how so? Well, I'm going to start. And then you heard voices start getting loud and stuff start, pots and pans flying. And finally you hear her shouting at the top of her voice, come from under that bed and fight like a man. C- Can I let you know, my friends, that oftentimes we pick and choose what we want to read in the scripture. And then sometimes we make it into what it's not so it can serve our purposes. Can I preach today? I was the same way when I grew up. Man, I wanted to find scriptures that proved what my point is and put me in a selfish situation. But love is totally different than that. We can skip over the part where it says, husbands, love your wife as Christ loved the church. Or the part where it says submitting to one another in respect and honor for God. Man, it's amazing how oftentimes we skip the part we want to get to the part that we want to use for our benefit. Are y'all still with me? So let me share this as my first point is simply this. Learning how to love is a process, a priority, and a pleasure. Say it with me. Learning to love is a process, a priority, and it's a pleasure. And I know sometimes we struggle with the process, but man, you know, when the brother came back from Promise Keepers, man, it's a process for him getting back, you know, where he needs to be, saying, hey, I was off. I read this wrong. This is not what God intended. He had never intended someone to point the finger and says, I'm supposed to be over you, therefore you submit to me. It was never like that. Submitting is a voluntary response to a love given. It's not a submission hold, folks. You're going to submit. It's not. It's what helped me really wrap my arms around the fact that I wanted to live for God. When I found out how much God loved me, what he did for me, how he bled and died for me, how he loved me when I was unlovable, how he reached down and picked me up out of the miry clay and pulled me up when I was on my way to hell, changed my destination to, that made me say, who is this person? I want to live for you. I submit to you today and forevermore. Take my life. Just use me like you want to use me. When you get it right, brothers, when you love her like that, she will submit too. Got quiet in the house. Y'all still love me? Glory to the name of the Lord. But it's a process. Say it with me. It's a process. Paul was working with the church on the process. It wasn't a question of whether they were saved. That wasn't the issue. They were saved, but they needed to grow. They needed to grow. When I was a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man, or when I became mature, or when I grew up, I put away childish things. I remember when we first got married, and I thank God for my wife sticking with me through these years, because she married a man. I was super immature. I was young too, you know. And if all you've done is seen a lot of immature stuff and you watch Shaft and Superfly and listen to Motown, you had a messed up perception of what love was supposed to be. Can I get a witness out this being real? So I got married for many of the wrong reasons, you know, and like, you know, you want someone that's going to cook, bear your kids, and you want kids, and you want someone that can cook and clean, and, you know, I'm just saying, y'all don't like me today, but I got y'all, man, if looks could kill, I'm just saying. But, you know, I was looking for someone that could do these responsibilities. I definitely wanted to have sex too. I did say sex. Yeah. So I'm just saying, somebody getting happy over there and said, hey, talk about it, Pastor. Talk about it. Hey, finally on a good subject. But what I did not realize and recognize or understand that marriage was to be the picture to make people look and say, wow, how Christ must have loved the church if Jerry Wayne loves Jita as much as he does, Christ really must have loved the church. The Bible says, husbands, love them how as Christ loved the church. And it's a process, folks. It's a process. You've got to grow. It just doesn't happen automatically. Are you with me today? And it's a priority. Why do I say it's a priority? Because 1 Corinthians 14:1, it says this. It says, let love be your highest goal. And talks about that we should desire and pursue spiritual gifts. But he starts off by saying, after sharing in 1 Corinthians 13, he says, let love, not making money, not the job, let love be your highest goal. And folks, if we miss everything else, if we don't get this right, if we don't get that right, we need to let love be our highest goal. Are y'all with me today? God wants, say it with me, God wants us to make sure love is our highest goal. Man, because it impacts everything else. It impacts everything else. There was a smart attorney, kind of smart aleck attorney, but he was questioning Jesus, and he said, teacher, what's the greatest commandment in the law? And Jesus told him without hesitating, he says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. And he says, this is the first and greatest commandment. And then he goes on and says, and the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. And he says, if you get this right, he said, the rest of them are going to work. He says, all the laws of the prophets hang on these two. If we could work on these two. Amen. Y'all getting quiet? Y'all still love me, right? Yeah. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Some of y'all say, well, you need to preach on something else. No, I'm just saying. If you get these two right, the rest of them is going to work out. If you love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, your mind, and then you love your neighbor as yourself. Thank you, God. Somebody give God a good hand praise right now. Mm. Hallelujah. So it's very important. It must be a priority. And I got to share with you, it's also a pleasure. There's nothing like experiencing the love of God and the love of people. You know, I remember, you know, of course, just if someone would ask me the best part of being a pastor, it's the love that I receive from you and the love that I share with you all. It's not buildings. It's not vehicles. It's not accomplishing goals. Except it be for loving somebody. The greatest feeling, and not it's only about a feeling, the greatest commitment in the world is loving each other. Can I get a good amen in this house? Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. And you all, some of you, you all have been easy to love. Some of you. I'm just saying. And when you have, I remember the next is when I have my first granddaughter. And I just knew, you know, first, you know, she's little bitty and all of that. But and I could love her, but she couldn't love back. I just remember first time I remember her running to me and saying, Paw Paw, and putting her arms around me. Man, I'm not sure if you've ever had one of those moments you could just melt and just go. I was like, God, this is good. Can I tell you, folks, there's nothing like love in all the world. No wonder he says that the greatest commandment is that we would love God with all of our hearts, souls, and our minds, and our strength, and then love our neighbor as ourselves. Somebody give God one more hand praise. He's a good God. Woo! Hallelujah. And then he goes on and I like when he says this. There are three things that'll last forever. Faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love. So this love is going to be eternal. You know, Motown, they was saying, I love you forever and a day. You know, but if they are not going the same place you're going, you know, that may be a challenge to that. But three things will last forever, faith, hope, and love, and the greatest of these is love. And it's going to last forever. Thank you, Jesus. Now, there's a passage that causes me to think and to be blessed by it. It's in Psalms 63, 1-3. And David, the psalmist, is writing, and he's writing out of his heart. He's a talented individual. He writes songs. He's a musician, and he does some amazing things. And more than anything, he loves God. He's a worshiper. And he says, oh God, you are my God, and early will I seek you. This sounds like someone that's really, really, that loves God. He says, my soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs. What if our church was so on fire for God? Before we even came in, we woke up in the morning. He says, early will I seek you. Because my soul thirsts for you. I long for you. And your week has been dry. But you're like that water in a thirsty and a dry land where there is no water. And then he goes on and says, so I have looked for you in the sanctuary and wherever that sanctuary might be. Sometimes my sanctuary is in the park. Sometimes I walk and I see God's hand. I walk and I see, man, that's you, God. And he'll show me a rainbow. I said, God, thank you, God, for you did that for me. Sometimes he'll show you the sunset and the sunrise. Any of you all had a worship experience when you saw the sunrise or the sunset? It's like, God, thank you so much. You did that for me. Don't see some clouds up there. I'm just saying, somebody give God real good praise if you really know him. Woo! Hallelujah. Thank you, God. He says, my soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you. And this is what worship is about. And if you come into the sanctuary and you really don't know him, it's hard for you to, you know, understand why our hands go up. It's hard for you to understand why the Jita is dancing up here and shouting, you know. And I said, some people said, well, didn't she have a little bit more control? Man, I'm so glad she's on fire for Jesus. Keep on being on fire. I certainly encourage it. Because there's one thing about it is that, man, when people love God like that, man, their personality's better, attitude is better, they're thankful, their focus is not on the problems, their focus is on what God has done and what he's still going to do. So I give him praise. Listen what the psalmist says here in this next verse, and I think it's the third verse, and they probably have it on the screen. He says, because your love is better than life. Whew. Thank you, God. He says, your love, God, is better than life itself. My lips will glorify you. Hallelujah. I bless you, God. And that's someone that's growing in their love. They're growing in their love way beyond all the other stuff. Barry White and all the rest. Way better than that. Way better than that. Says, your love. And I'm not sure if you've ever had a moment where you was in that place. And if you haven't, I pray that you do. You know, when you shut everything else down and you just say, God, it's all about you. Yeah. Whether it's here, and sometimes you can do it in the midst of everybody and everybody together giving God praise because he's Abba Father. He's Daddy God. He's opened doors and made ways that we could never open for ourselves, made ways that we could never. And he did it on your behalf and for you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah, y'all can go on. Let's all praise him together because he's that kind of good God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. And then I say it's a pleasure. That's why we're talking about, you know, this love is, it's a pleasure because, you know, and I've got to bring this home. It says because, and I love the scripture, it says there is no fear in love. And the reason this is important is because I didn't used to enjoy serving God as it being a pleasure. It was dutysome and it was, you know, it was work because I can't do this and I don't want to do this. And God says, wait, ho, slow your roll, shawty. That's modern day terminology. It's saying, hey, I'm not like that. I'm not trying to zap you. I'm not trying to hurt you. I want to express my love as a father would express to a son. And I'm not looking for you to mess up so I can zap you. I'm not looking for you to mess up. I mean, so when somebody shared the good news of the gospel to me, man, it changed my whole life. And some people that had told me, I was convinced that I was going to hell. They said, boy, you bad. You're going to bust hell wide open. I was convinced of that. I used to practice going to hell. How would you, as a kid, I stuck my hand on the water. Since they say you're going, you better test the hot water. You need to burn yourself again. You got to get ready. You're going to get hot. Any of you all ever thought that you were destined? until somebody stepped in and said, "Nah, there's good news. There's a gospel message. Someone came to take your place, to die in your stead, to hang on the cross from the sixth to the ninth hour on your behalf." Somebody give him praise. Thank you, Lord. Woo! Hallelujah. Listen that the scripture says this: there is no fear in love, but love, perfect love, casts out fear. When I found out how much he loves me, look at this next passage before. For fear involves torment. He says, but he who fears has not been made perfect in love. But when I found out how much he loved me, that I could rest in that very thing, man, fear had to get away from me. I said, I don't even have to be afraid now. I'd be afraid to go to bread. If I don't wake up, I'm going to a better place. And I give him glory. I give him praise. I honor him. Hallelujah. So let me share this with you. Is that as we grow in love, we choose to put away childish things. And it is a choice. It is a choice. Pastor, why is that important? Because we can either choose to stay childish, because when I was a child, thought as a child, acted as a child. But when I became a man, or when I became mature, when I grew up, I put away what? So can I just share with you just for a moment what childish things look like? Actually, Paul broke it down in the earlier passage in 1 Corinthians 13:4. He says, love, he's talking about mature love, agape, sacrificial love, is patient and kind. So you want to know what childishness looks like? It looks like impatient people. Looks like unkind people. How many of us need to grow up when it comes to patience? We so quick to snap. I'm praying, don't bother me. Love is patient. And when you're driving in your car and grandma, I'm sorry, I said to grandma. Almost messed up. I said, Jesus is a grandma now, so. When someone drives slow, pulls out in front of you, and slows way down, and they're on the phone, and the light is green clearly. Immature people are impatient. Are y'all with me? Immature. And don't be in the city. Oh, man. See, they will honk at you. Oh, man. But love is patient. I know your husband is not where you want him to be. But love is what? I know your wife is not where you want her to be. But love is. I'm going to mess with y'all just a little bit. Some of y'all might not be where. No, I ain't going to say that. But love is. Your kids aren't always where you want them to be. They haven't changed. Mine, I'm still praying. They grown. But love is what? And sometimes you feel like giving up, but love is what? Wow. And guess what? You're growing in love, right? You're growing in love. Love is not jealous. You used to be jealous. I think you used to be jealous. You used to be boastful. You used to be proud. Immaturity is all about me. What I did. Love is not rude. So if you ever want to see what immaturity looks like, look at this passage and ask the question, hey, am I rude? If you're rude, we need to grow in love. I like this one. Love does not demand its own way. It's mine, mine, me, my, I. Yeah, I said it like that. Man, do you know any people that it's all about? Me, my, I. But love is not about seeking its own way. And I've been working on it. Love is not irritable, keeps no record of wrong. And one lady was talking about she had done some things in the past, and she was telling somebody that my husband has a historical memory. I'm thinking, my historical? You mean that's the wrong word? She said, No. He remembers everything in history that I've ever done. He always brings it up whenever we get in an argument. But love keeps no record of wrong done. Man, don't you love this passage? Growing in what? Wow. It does not rejoice in injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. Love never gives up, never loses faith. It always hopeful and endures through every circumstance. And then the writer says, so you said, Pastor, how does this all connect? Don't forget that the writer was talking about the church and believers. He didn't say that you were not believers. He just said you needed to grow up. Man, you know, I'm not where I want to be, but thank God I'm not where I used to be. Still got some growing to do. Man, oh man, when I look at my wife and I look at us, and you know, and many times people, you know, churches don't have the pleasure and the privilege of seeing that. You know, you've seen us love each other since we've been here, and it ain't gonna change. And I thank God for it. Here's my point: we're still growing. You all are still growing. Don't ever stop growing. And you say, well, Pastor, I'm not that place. I'm still impatient. But if you're growing, we're all right. Just don't stop growing. I'm impatient. I'm not kind all the time. But if you're growing, it's what God wants us to do. Are you with me today? Let me give you this last point and we're out. Thank you, God. Are you getting this? Somebody give him a shout in the house. He's a good God. Hallelujah. And this next, and just want to share with you, only when we receive a personal revelation of God's love for us can we give to others that very same love. It's only when we receive it. And some of us have been so tough on ourselves that we've never received the love of God. So, well, how could he love me when all the things that I've done, the things that I've said? Man, it's not based upon what you've done, but it's based upon, it's unconditional. There's no way he can love you anymore. Nothing you could do to make him love you anymore or any less. Thank you, God. But you've got to receive that. And I don't care what others have said about you and, you know, about you're unlovable and you should have never been born. And people can say some cruel things. Can't he get a witness? But here's what Romans says: but God demonstrates or shows his love for us in this way, that while we were still sinners, not when you got it together, not when you have it all tight, but while we were still sinners, Christ loved us. But God showed us his great love by sending his son to die for us while we were sinners. I'm wrapping this up, but you know, this is getting close. It's my second closing. But check it out. There's a picture of someone receiving the love of God and God making it ever so clear that this is his love for us. And in the book of Hosea is a man of God, and the Bible says the Lord told him to go, and I love this passage. I don't understand it because there's a lot in the Bible I don't understand, but it says when the Lord spoke to him, and Hosea heard the Lord say, go marry a promiscuous woman. And some passages says a harlot or someone of whoredom, and others say a prostitute. And he says, go on and y'all take care of the children, even though the children might not be yours. Can I preach? And he says that she is an adulterous woman and have done some things. But he says, don't forget that like the adulterous wife, this land is guilty of unfaithfulness to the Lord. He said, she's not the only one that's been unfaithful. She's not the only one that's went here and went there with indiscretions. She's not the only one that's promiscuous. How many of you all know that when the Bible talks about whoredom, it's not always talking about someone involved in sex. Sometimes it's talking about someone that's just unloyal, disloyal. You go anywhere, do whatever. Are y'all with me today? Oh, hallelujah. Do you know that God is calling his own people, the ones that he married, his church? He's calling us back to him. And sometimes we're running over here, running over there. I mean, without any loyalty. Are you with me today? This is not me saying this, but this is what God's word says. He says, like an adulterous wife in the land, this land, Israel, is guilty of unfaithfulness. Let me just ask the question. Have we been guilty of being unfaithful to the Lord? What does that look like? That means that we're not putting him first in every area of our lives. We're not loving him. Man, I would get upset, and some of the men in here would too, and some of the women as well. You start loving on somebody else more than you love on the one you live with. Oh, man. It'll be ugly. It'll be ugly. And you think around 10 o'clock something's going to happen. You say, yeah, something's going to happen. Man, I'm moving on. After she had messed up and after she had went out, and the Bible says, in one passage says she played, I don't like to use the word, but she played the whore under every green tree here and there and with whoever. And you know she was having issues. And we don't know her background, what she went through, what brought her to this. But here's what Hosea says, what God says to Hosea in 3:1. The Lord said to me, go and love your wife again, even though she commits adultery with another lover. God says, even though you're out there doing whatever you want to do with whoever you want to, I still love you. I'm sending the preacher to go get you and say, I still want you. I don't care what you've been through. I don't care how you've acted up, how you've messed up. I don't care about your past. I don't care that you was under prostitution with every man around. I still love you. Now, I know some of us say, I wouldn't love him. But God says, I still love you, even though you messed up, even though you didn't do right, even though you love someone else more than you love me. I still love you, and I still want you back. What kind of love is this? Come on, stand on your feet and give him praise. Woo! I said, give him praise. Give him a shout in this house. He said, this will illustrate that the Lord still loves Israel, even though the people have turned to other gods and have worshiped them. The Bible says that, and understand, this is the picture of Christ's love. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. So the Bible says, this blesses me. The Bible says, so I bought her back. She was on the block to be sold because the person that she was with last, and she probably didn't know it, but he was all into human trafficking. So here she is, naked, very few things on, and standing before. So who will give me a dollar? 5, 10, 15? I want her. I want her. I don't care what the price is. I want her. She's my wife. She went astray, but I still want her. I bought He bought her back for 15 pieces of silver, 5 bushels of barley, and a measure of wine. And then he says, you've got to come home with me. But you got to stop this prostituting. Can I let you know that God is saying the same thing to us? Come home. Stop prostituting. Stop doing your thing out in the street. Stop running after every Tom, Dick, and whoever. I want you to run to me because I can love you like no one else can. I can be there for you. I'll provide for you supernaturally. Somebody bless him in this house. Come on, give him a shout. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Y'all a little bit too quiet for me. Give him a shout. Hallelujah. Glory to your name. We bless you, God. We honor you, Father. Thank you for loving us, God.